There are people, if they were being very honest, Christian people, people that love the Lord, that would have to tell you that prayer is not something that's terribly enjoyable to them. Have you met people like that? We all know people like that, and to be honest with you, I have to tell you, I've been like that. That's, you know, because I was taught to pray by religious people. And religious people can take something that's alive and wonderful and full of fun and joy, and they can make it boring. That's what they've done to church. They've made church boring. Nobody wants to come to church. It's boring. It's boring. Well, you know, the problem is not the message. The message isn't boring. Prayer isn't boring. It's the way we do it. It's the way we present it. And then there's another problem today, in that we've been falsely made to think that everything has to cause a tingle. Isn't that right? You know, when I was a kid, it wasn't unusual for you to go to a Sunday school class and have someone lecture you. In fact, I had Sunday school teachers that read to me. That's all they did. Read. And it's probably a good thing they did, because some of them didn't know the Lord. And if they'd have told me anything, it'd probably been wrong. But they'd read to us. But nowadays, you know, we've got all this electronic gadgetry. And what kid is there around that doesn't have all kinds of video games that they play? And so the things that are done just through line upon line teaching, they have surmised that that's boring. And the reason is that they won't stop for a second and listen. Because there's life in the Word. Say, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's God's Word. That doesn't sound like boring, does it? Sharper than a two-edged sword. Do you know what a two-edged sword will do? It slices both ways, doesn't it? Both ways it's slicing, cutting. And so, how could the Word of God be boring? It takes man to make it that way. It takes yielding to the devil to make it that way. And if the Word of God's not boring, then prayer shouldn't be boring, because prayer should be the Word of God. Those who pray should pray what God's Word says. They should say what the Word of God says. And see, when I begin to pray and I begin to talk to the Lord, I start most often with just Him. I say, "Oh, Father, I'm so glad that I know You, the great I Am, Yahweh. I know who You are, Yahweh God. You've revealed Yourself as a covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful, and loving God. And I'm excited to know You and to have You know me. You know who I am." And then we've talked about all of these different names of God through the different times. These are the redemptive names. Have you ever been over to Jerusalem of Gold in Loveland? Out in the new, what is that? That shopping center that's out there across from the factory stores? There's a place called Jerusalem of Gold. This man makes some of the most beautiful banners like these. Oh, I mean, he's just really good. Marty Gale is the man that does it. And I want to get a whole set of them. You all have to pray about it, because the one he showed me the other day, he says, "Well, that one goes for $190," but they're beautiful. But this is Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. And as I pray, I thank God that I'm righteous in Him, that He took my sins in His own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And then this is Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. How many know that God said, be holy, for I am holy? That's right. He's a holy God. And so as I pray, I not only say, Lord, I thank you that you're holy, but I say, I will be holy, for you are holy. You lead me in paths of righteousness. That's a sanctified path, and I will walk there with you. That's the way I pray. And I remember the third name is Yahweh Shammah, the Lord who is there. It speaks of His omnipresence. But it even speaks more of His covenant presence. And the covenant presence, the Bible says, we're made nigh through the blood of Christ. And so I speak about the Lord who is there, Yahweh, who is present in me. And I remember the Holy Spirit is the way that He stays present in me. Did you know the Holy Spirit's in you? He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That's what I say. I thank you today, Father, that you're with me, that you're in me, that you never leave me, that you never forsake me, that you teach me all things, that you bring to my remembrance the things Jesus said, that you guide me into all truth, that you show me things to come. I remember Yahweh Shammah. And of course, Yahweh Shalom, the God who is our shalom, our peace. The Bible says He made shalom through the blood of His cross. Every one of these names are covenant names that are cut in the blood of Jesus. Yahweh Shalom. The Bible says He'll keep you in perfect shalom whose mind is stayed on thee. Can you keep your mind stayed on Him? That's the challenge, isn't it? Because you can stay in perfect shalom if you can keep your mind on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you keep your mind on Him, you'll be in perfect peace all the time. I pray that. I say, I keep my mind stayed on you. Therefore, I am in perfect shalom, perfect peace. And which one of us can't relate to Yahweh Rapha, Rapha, the healer, the Lord. Yahweh is our healer. And I always like to talk about that. Lord, your word says that you took my infirmities, you bore my sickness. You said that none of the diseases of Egypt would come upon me, for you are Yahweh Rapha. You are the Lord who heals me. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him as stricken and smitten of God. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Right? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that makes us whole was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. We're the healed of God. So you pray these names and you say, can you tell I'm not bored? Can you tell I'm not bored? And I don't get bored doing this. And day after day, I will in one way or another begin to remember. And you see, the Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. These are benefits. He's our provider, Yahweh Yireh. Or if you have sung the song, it's called Jehovah Jireh. You remember the song? Yahweh Yireh. He is the Lord who supplies all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He makes His grace abound toward us so that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, abound to every good work. All of my needs are provided. I don't go around telling God what I don't have. I go around in prayer telling Him what I do have according to His Word. His Word says He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. I say, you're Yahweh Nisi. You are our banner. And your banner over me is love. What do we know about love?
Love.
What do we know about it? What do we know about it? Is love good, Brooke? You love mommy. We love one another. But you know, love's not just mushy and sticky and gooey. Love's strong. Love's strong. The Bible says that He loves us. His banner over us is love. Get this. We overcome the enemy through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He loves us. His love is a banner. It's a banner. As long as Moses' hands were up, the Israelites prevailed over the Amalekites. But when Moses' hands got tired and came down, the Amalekites began to prevail. So Aaron and Hur came and held up Moses' hands. That was the banner. They called the name of that place Yahweh Nisi. His banner over us is love. And I'll just set you at ease. She's not going to bother me. And she won't bother anyone else. She's not being that rowdy. So she's okay. She can even say love and amen if she wants to. And she can teach some older people to do it. Right. Praise God. So while we're talking about all of this, and I've already gone a few minutes to get to this point. Prayer is delightful. And so we did a whole series called Delightful Prayer. And then we looked at some prayers that the Holy Spirit prayed for us in Scripture. And we learned in those prayers that He was talking about what we do have and not what we don't have. The prayer for Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 16, says, I pray that you be given unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you might know the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of His power to us were to believe. You see, we're talking about tremendous things, not boring things. Not things that should make you want to go to sleep, but things that should make you want to shout. It's okay, go ahead, shout. Oh, that was, whoo! Man, be careful, you'll break my eardrums. It's all right to give a shout. I know some of you, I've seen some of you, you get excited. You get excited. We've been at those gymnastics meets and we've seen those girls do some pretty fantastic things. We see Michaela go, and you know, Granddad just sits there and says, "Way to go, Michaela." She gets done, we go, "Woo! Way to go!" Well, why don't we do that for Jesus? Think what He did. He laid down His life for us. He's Yahweh Rohi. He is our shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep who lays down His life for the sheep. And I will never perish, I say. I'll never perish. And no man can pluck me out of His hands. Praise God. Good to see you, Juanita. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So prayer is a delightful thing. But we've been learning about prayer that prayer is more than just seeing how much we can say. Some people, that's the way they pray. We're like charismatics with a little rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not prayer. The Catholics give that out as punishment. You sin, you got to say so many of those, right? That's punishment. No wonder people think prayer's not fun. But we do the same thing, and we think if we're not talking all the time, we're not praying. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God wants to speak to you. How many believe that it's God's will for Him to speak to us? Now, most religious people will say, "Oh, yes, brother, yes, amen, amen. He speaks to me when I read the Word of God." And amen, that's true. That's true. In fact, that's how you begin to know the tone of His voice, is through His Word. But I want you to know that He wants to speak to you by His Spirit, which many times He does while you're in the Word, but He can do it many times when you're not in the Word. In fact, that's what that Scripture in John 14 Verse 26 means when it says, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that Jesus said. He'll remind you of things that He said. How many have had Him do that to you? You'll be thinking of something and all of a sudden the Word just pops up into your mind and you aren't reading it. In fact, you might not even be able to find it real fast. You'd have to get your concordance out. But you've got it down in your heart, in your spirit, and God says something and it comes right up into your mind and you find yourself saying that. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And so God wants to speak to His people. He wants to get us awake. You ever been lying in bed? I remember I used to sleep through alarms better than anybody you ever knew. My dad would come in the morning sometimes. I had a paper route. And he'd say, Terry, how can you sleep through that alarm? And I'm just... Well, I think God has to do that to us sometimes. He sounded the alarm. Finally, He just has to come in and say, Son, wake up. So an awakening begins with hearing. God speaks. I believe He wants all believers to hear Him. In fact, I believe that's the message of Exodus 19 when the children of Israel were standing at the foot of Sinai and God spoke the law to them. He spoke Torah to them. His instructions came out. He wanted them to hear. But the next thing God saw was the children of Israel running. They stood afar off, the Bible said. They ran away from Him. They didn't want to hear Him. And they said, Moses, Moses, you hear from God. We don't want to hear. We might die. Well, God's voice is pretty strong. It's a powerful voice. But I believe that God showed right then that He wanted to talk to all of His people. He told them all, I'll make you a kingdom of priests. A whole nation of priests. And this is the reason we have on our beams here, every saint a minister. Every saint. St. Christy, St. Colleen, St. Michaela, St. Dan, St. Juanita, St. Bethany, St. Janet, St. Betty, St. Keith, St. Minnie. Do I want me to keep going? Everybody, the rest of you say your name and say saint. That's right. And St. Brooke. You're saints. If you're born again, you're a saint. How many born again people here today? Can I see the hands of the born again? You've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Are you born again? Amen. So you're a saint. And you're a minister. You're a minister. And you know one thing about ministers, ministers have to follow instructions. God has to be able to talk to His ministers so His ministers can hear His voice. We have to be able to know who to talk to. Betty can tell you that, you know, she's a soul winner. But she can tell you that some people aren't ready to be talked to, right? And there's some people that the Holy Spirit says, sick 'em, Betty. Right? That's right. She is a soul winner too. I'll tell you what. We were talking the other night that she gets them in these long lines at the supermarket or in Walmart. Captive audience. You know, they're not going to get out of line to get away from her. And she talks to them. She probably starts out something like this. I'm glad you could all make it here today. I've got good news for you. Amen. Praise God. You see how fun it is to be a believer? Everybody say it's fun. Well, sure it is. It is abundant life. It's fun. Get over this baptized in vinegar look. You know? Sometimes we act like we've been sucking on dill pickles. We're not. We're happy. And we know it. Amen? Praise God. So our guidance can come from God. In fact, God will, I believe... As you're walking, He'll make minor adjustments, just like a navigation system on an airplane. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to walk that straight, narrow walk without some adjustment here and there, right? But I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to us and say, No, son, don't go that way. Don't turn that way. No, turn this way, just a little bit this way. There you go. There you're on track. Get back where you're going here. That's guidance. I want to hear Him like that every moment, don't you? I want that kind of guidance and that kind of direction so clear. So clear. You know, we need to understand that God wants it to be that way. And then we need to learn to develop a hearing ear and decide, you know, I'm not going to go through life anymore kicking against the pricks. Who did that? Who kicked against the pricks? Who? Yeah, the Apostle Paul. You remember on the road to Damascus? That's what the Lord told him. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Have any of you ever known what that's talking about? Well, when you use oxen to pull equipment or to pull a wagon, oxen or any kind of cattle for that matter, sometimes they get cantankerous when they're in yoke. And they start kicking and slamming around, and so they put what they call goads behind their legs. And when they kick back, they get that sharp stick in the back and they pull back real quick and they quit that kicking. That's what it's talking about. That's the pricks that God was talking about, the goads. He said, don't do that. And see, God doesn't want to guide us through hurting us. He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. That would be child abuse, wouldn't it? For God to hurt us, to guide us. We're His children, aren't we? He's not out to hurt you. He wants to guide you. What does a good, trained horse respond to? Not the rein, not the whip. The voice. Gee. Ha. That's the way it is. If any of you have trained a dog, you know that that's what you want to get them to. You don't want to have a choke collar on them all the time to get them to do what you want to be able to say, sit. And they immediately drop, right? We had a little Sheltie at our house for a while, and that dog learned every trick almost with voices. Colleen brought that dog home, and he just, I mean, you could just almost tell him, and he just seemed to be able to pick out, but he did not know how to roll over. He just couldn't get roll over. We'd say, roll over, Andy. Finally, Henrietta said, Andy, watch. And she jumped down off of her chair and rolled over. And Andy looked at her and rolled over right beside her. From then on, he knew roll over. But that's what you want, and that's what God wants with us. But in order for Him to be able to guide us by voice, what do we have to be able to do? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. All that means is, hear, listen Israel, listen. God wants us to hear. He wants us to hear. In Luke 8:18, we have read this to you several times, but we're going to keep going over this until every one of us is quick to hear. Slow to speak and slow to anger. Amen. It says, so be sure. Now I'm reading a little different. That says, take heed therefore how you hear. This is the New Living Translation says, so be sure to pay attention. Be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. That's happening today, people. There are believers today who have decided to walk the way of the world, and what they have is being taken away from them. There are believers today who have decided that they will follow the path of the world's voice. And even what they have is being taken away from them. And the sad thing is that every day it seems that their ear gets heavier and heavier and can't hear and can't hearken. There's only one thing could be done. That's called repentance. Turn around. Get back on track. You all know believers like this that aren't really walking with the Lord. They aren't really listening to what He's saying. They can't hear anymore. Their ears are heavy that they cannot hear. We know that it's God's will to talk to people. In the Tanakh, everybody say Tanakh. What is the Tanakh? Well, the Tanakh is actually an anagram. The Tanakh is the Torah, the Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, which is the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. The Nevi'im is the prophets and the writings. That's how the Old Testament is split up in the Hebrew Bible, is into three sections. The law, the prophets, and the writings. Psalms and Proverbs are part of the writings. Ecclesiastes are part of the writings. You know the prophets, right? So you can figure out what the Bible is. But notice this, that Adam, in the Torah, God spoke to him, talked to him. In fact, the scripture indicates he just talked to him in the cool of the day, or we found out that word is with his spirit. He talked to Adam through his spirit. He spoke to Adam through his spirit. He talked to Noah after the fall. He could talk to Noah, couldn't he? He said, Noah, you found grace in my eyes. Therefore, I'm going to preserve you. Build me an ark. Noah says, quite a job for a 600-year-old man. But Noah built an ark. Why? Because God says it's going to rain, Noah. Noah said, God? He says, yes, Noah. What's rain? See, Noah had never seen rain. That's hard for you to believe, but that's what the scripture says. The earth watered itself from underneath, and the dew settled. It wasn't like it is now. But nevertheless, Noah was moved by faith and built an ark. Did God speak to anybody else in the Old Testament? And we know He spoke to Abraham, don't we? He said, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and your family, and I want you to come to a place that you'll know it when you get there. That's really what He said, wasn't it? I'll show you. So Abraham went, and sure enough, when he got to the place, God says, this is the place, Abraham, stay here. Abraham had to wander around a little bit. He went down to Egypt for a while, got in trouble down there, came back, but he could hear God. God spoke to him clearly. Aren't you glad that Abraham could hear God? Have you ever thought what would have happened if Abraham hadn't heard God clearly? What if he had heard Him say, take your son, your only son, and offer him on Mount Moriah? And Abraham had taken him up there, but then he kind of got into the thinking about himself and other things and couldn't hear God when he was about ready to bring the knife down. But he heard God say, don't bring the knife down. I'm glad he could hear, aren't you? I believe life and death depends upon our hearing, people. That's why we're talking about it. Life and death. It's important to hear from God. We know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all heard God speak. We know that Samuel heard God speak. David heard God speak. The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, even ones we can hardly say, Habakkuk, they could hear God speak. That's how they wrote the Word of God, wasn't it? Well, that all passed away, though, as soon as the New Testament came. We don't need to be able to hear God anymore in the New Testament. No, you don't have to hear Him anymore because we got the Bible now. Think about it. I've heard that said. We don't need prophecies today. We don't need tongues and interpretations today. We don't need words of knowledge today. Somebody even said, we don't need healings today. God gave us doctors now. We got doctors. We don't need healing. No doctor can heal. Only God can heal. But that's the way people get when they get religious. In the Renewed Covenant, or the New Testament, the Berit Hadashah is the way that's said. Berit means covenant. Hadashah is renewed. Renewed. Do you remember how Yeshua talked to His disciples? He didn't veil things. He talked to them clearly. He didn't give them just hints about things. He told them all that they could understand and everything they could reason. He said, I have many more things to tell you, but you're not able to hear it yet. Right? But He talked to them plainly. Say plainly. I'm bringing that up because a lot of people now think God only talks in strange ways. And sometimes we've almost become Freudian with our dream interpretation and stuff like that. I don't believe God talks in vague manners most of the time. There may be some times that He has some things that He'll show you you don't understand right away, and then later it'll begin to come to pass. But God can still speak clearly and plainly and freely to those that will listen to Him. And that's what I want you to get today. I want you to understand that it's something that He wants. In the Newer Testament, Philip heard from God, didn't he? Philip was having a great revival in Samaria. Oh, I mean to tell you, people were getting healed and demons were being cast out. Many were being saved. This was tremendous revival in the city of Samaria. Remember, Samaria by the Jews was thought to be like dogs because they were half-breeds. And they had followed Jeroboam's sin and the golden calf. And I tell you, they were looked down on by Jews. But Philip went up there by the word of God. He heard God say, go up to Samaria. Philip went up there and they had this tremendous revival. I mean, people were coming to Christ from every sector. They were burning their books, their old witchcraft books and things of astrology and stuff like that. They were burning those things and listening to Philip and paying heed to what he said. God spoke to him again right in the middle of the revival and said, hey, Philip, I want you to come down here to the desert. And Philip, listen to this. I mean, can you imagine a preacher today in the middle of a revival shutting it down to go out in the desert? No, Lord, this is where it's going. This is where it's happening. No, Lord says, I want you to go to the desert. Philip shut down the revival, or at least his part of it, and went to the desert. Over in the desert, he meets a chariot, a single chariot, with a high-ranking official from Queen Candace in Ethiopia on board. And this chariot's got the man up on top of it reading a scroll from the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit says, go join yourself to that chariot. Go climb on. Philip goes over and he gives him a ride. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I don't know how I could understand it unless somebody were to explain it to me. Well, Philip knew now why God said, I want you to leave Samaria and go to the desert. Aren't you glad he could hear? Because he took the first known part of the gospel, the first time we know that it was done, Philip shared the gospel with this high-ranking official of this queen in Ethiopia, led him to the Lord, baptized him, and guess what he did? He went back to Africa and took the gospel to Africa. Just think, maybe it got to Ghana by way of Ethiopia. Aren't you glad the gospel came to you? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's the good news. Aren't you glad Philip could hear God speak? Do you remember Shaul? We talked about him a minute ago. Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? He heard that. He heard God speak that to him. It was the thing that turned Paul around. He had heard the gospel before but rejected it. But when he heard God speak, he said, Lord. And then Ananias had to hear from God because Ananias said, I want you to go to where Shaul is, Saul. I want you to go and lay your hands on him so that he can receive his sight. You remember Paul's eyes became blinded with a bright light? So he can receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so Ananias said, well, Lord, I've got to tell you that I've heard that this guy has been killing Christians, but I'll go at your word. Aren't you glad that Ananias was obedient to the word of God and to God's voice? Cornelius heard from God. Cornelius was praying. He was a Roman citizen. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman centurion, but he heard God say, go send to Joppa for a man named Peter, and he will explain to you what you need to do. And then Peter had to hear from God when he was over on the roof praying. And God said, there's some men coming. Don't call them unclean. Go with them. And Peter went with them. And that resulted in the first preaching of the good news to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad Peter could hear the good news from God's own lips and that could share it on? Remember, all Scripture is a result of men hearing from God. That's what the Bible says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. It's inspired. It's breathed into us. It's in the Scripture. It's in the Scripture. Jesus taught us in John 10. He says, and His sheep hear His voice. John 10:3. And His sheep hear His voice. I'm leaving the first part of that off. But His sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name. Does God call you by name? I don't know that I've ever heard Him say Terry, but I've always known when He was talking to me. How about you? I remember one time when I had just a short time been back with the Lord. And I used to get up at 4 in the morning so I could read the Word before I went to work at 6. And I was on my knees, and I don't remember if it was 4 in the morning or if it was after 2:30 when I got back home, but I was on my knees. We lived in an 8-wide mobile home, and I was on my knees in front of the sofa, and I was praising God and talking to God, and I said, I love You, Lord. And immediately, I heard His voice say, feed My sheep. I looked up to see who had said it. It was so clear to me. Where was it? Well, it was probably inside of me. I don't know. He can speak out loud, you know. I say He can. We know that because He spoke to Jesus one time and everybody thought it thundered, right? He can speak to us loudly or He can speak to us softly. Most often, He speaks to us quietly. And He wants us to have our attention fixed on Him. The Bible says, set your attention on things above. Set your attention on the spiritual. Set your attention on God. Amen? Amen. He says, His sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. In the fourth verse, He says, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, because they know His voice. Now, was He talking about actual sheep in this? Or what's He... He's talking about us, the believers, isn't He? The ones that are... Say, I'm a sheep. I belong to Yeshua. Yeshua's my shepherd. And so I know His voice. When He talks, we hear Him, don't we? We know what He sounds like. Yes, I think. We know what He sounds like. It's good. It's in the Word that we're supposed to hear His voice. So if we're not hearing, listen to me now very carefully. Here's where people go strange. I have people tell me a lot of times, I wish I could hear from God like you do. Always quickly say you can. It's not difficult. And by the way, I don't hear from Him as clearly as I'd like to. But it's not difficult. It's mainly getting my attention fixed in the right area. And you can hear. So if it's in the Word that we can hear His voice and that we know what His voice sounds like, it's in the Word. Say it's in the Word. It's in the Word. Then if we're not experiencing it, what do we need to do? It's in the Word. Why? Because hearing is where faith comes from, right? So, how many say, know that you've been given a measure of faith? You've all been given a measure of faith. God's given that to you when you got born again. That's the measure that was given to you to believe and trust. That's where the measure of faith spoken of in Romans 12 is. To believers. So if it's in the Word that I hear His voice, and I know what His voice sounds like, and I'm not experiencing that yet, then what do I need to use to begin to do that? I need to use my faith. I need to believe that I can. I need to believe that I hear the voice of God. Will you say it with me this morning? Say, I hear Jesus' voice. He knows me, and I follow Him. Now, just because you said it one time is not going to set it. You said it, but you need to set it. It needs to get to be a part of you. You need to hear it and hear it. So I want you to begin to practice saying, I hear your voice, Lord. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I know your voice. I know what it sounds like. I can't be misled because I won't listen to the voice of others. I only hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. His voice only will I hear. And because I hear His voice, He can lead me and guide me where He wants me to go. Use your faith. Believe that you can hear. You have to, and we went over this several weeks ago, but I want to quickly cover it again. You need to go through four steps at least to get to be a good hearer. And we've just gone through one of them by believing it, but you need to choose to hear. You need to choose to hear. How many of you have children? How many of you have pets? How many of you know that sometimes they choose not to hear? They choose not to hear. It's what we call selective hearing. I can tell you what it's like. Say to your child, go pick that stuff up and put it away, please. They don't hear that. Say, I've got some candy for you. Hey, wait a second, you know. They know right away then that it's something. Your dog does the same thing. You have a treat for them, they'll come, right? Well, God wants us to hear Him clearly. He doesn't want us to have selective hearing. He wants us to choose. And this is a choice you make. The Bible says, death... Now, let me wait a second here. It says, I call heaven and earth, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. I want you to know hearing from God is a living relationship. It's a part of life to be able to hear from God. You know, this is the problem with what has happened in modern day Christianity. It's become just a form. It's just a form that people practice. They go to church on Sunday, but they're not going to change. They're going to fulfill some kind of religious obligation. Well, that's not a good reason to go. The good reason to go is to hear. In fact, when you come here, you'll learn a little bit each time more about what God's voice sounds like. You'll know how to recognize Him. It'll awaken something in you. It'll awaken something in your spirit man. In fact, it'll do something else. It'll begin to put the soulish part of you down underneath, keeping it in submission and in subjection to the spirit part of you. That's a good reason to come together, isn't it? Choose, because I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Now choose life. Through a living relationship with Messiah, that both thou and thy seed may live. Number two, we said you needed to choose to give a place to the voice of Yahweh. You know, it's just like this. Sometimes when people want to do something, they just start doing it. Sometimes when they want to buy something, they just buy it. What would be wrong with saying, Lord, is this the thing I should buy today? Lord, should I do this? Should I not do that? Show me. You remember when David was attacked when he was living among the Philistines? David was attacked and they stole all the women out of the camp, kidnapped them all and burned the camp. And David and the men came back and the men got so upset, they said, David, you take us out on these raids and then while we're gone, they attack our wives and children and take them all away, and they were ready to stone David. The Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Could you say that with me? David encouraged himself in the Lord. David began to encourage himself in the Lord. And as he encouraged himself, he said, Lord, shall we go after them? And the Lord said, go. And they went, and the Bible says they recovered all. They recovered all. Not only did they recover their wives, their wives, their children. But they recovered all the spoil that these marauders had been taken from other people, and they came back wealthier. They recovered all. That's what happens when we listen to God. You need to give place. I like Isaiah 30:21. It says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." Now, isn't that just the way God talks sometime? You're just about minding your own business, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden you hear Him because you've given a place for Him. And He says, "Don't do this, do this." He'll say, "Go visit so-and-so. I want you to go over and talk to this lady. I want you to take cookies to this house. I want you to give a big smile to that person over there." You say, "Oh, that's silly." No, that's not silly. That's being led by the Holy Ghost. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And as you're led by the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit, you'll quit gratifying and fulfilling the desires of your flesh. That's why I'm spending so much time on this. This is not like a fad. You know, the church gets into fads sometimes. You ever notice that? Y'all seen the laughing fad? We all had the laughing fad for a while. And, you know, I'm not against it at all. It was all right. It loosened people up. They'd laugh and laugh. It got out of hand in some cases. Some of that laughing was foolishness. Some of it wasn't led by the Spirit at all. But we get into fads. We get into fads. There are certain things we do. So people started shaking. Everybody was shaking then. Boy, it's the fad. I got to shake. If the Lord's here, we'll shake. Well, no, that's a fad. He causes some people to shake. Let them shake. If He doesn't cause you to shake, don't try to do it. Amen? Aren't we a strange bunch? We're like sheep in some ways, but it's not the sheep in hearing His voice. It's the sheep of following other sheep and getting ourselves into trouble. We need to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. We need to choose to give ourselves a place to hear from God. John 10:5, Jesus said, let me finish this. Your ears will hear, Isaiah 30:21, your ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. That is momentary guidance, isn't it? That's what we need. That's how we learn to hear Him. And if you'll hear Him in small matters, believe me, you'll hear Him better when it comes to a big matter. When emotion gets all up in arms, then you can hear Him better if you've been listening to Him. That's why we do it. In John 10:5, it says, "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee." Say flee. How do you flee? Real fast. You get out of there. They'll flee. They'll flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You have to choose about this, don't you? Choose not to listen to these voices. There's a lot of voices gone out into the world today. There are voices, Jesus said, are going to come and say, "I am He." He said, "Don't you go after them." He says, "He's over here, He's over there. Don't follow Him." He said, "When the Son of Man comes, nobody's going to have to tell you that He is back. You're going to know." Amen. "You're going to know as the sun shineth from the east even unto the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." So we don't follow the voice of strangers. We separate ourselves to the things of God. We will not. Say, "I will not." I will not follow strange voices. You see, the fact that you will not is the key. It's not that you cannot or may not. You could, and people do. You have to decide it. You have to say, "Look, I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to do it. I won't follow the voice of strangers. I refuse to follow a stranger's voice." How do you turn away from all these strange voices? And maybe we ought to identify some of these strange voices. Have any of you ever been with someone that you just knew, being with them, you thought things, talked about things that you shouldn't talk about just because you were with them? Yeah. I have a preacher friend that when he and I get together, I become very loquacious. I start trying to out-talk him because he talks so fast. You know, the Bible says There wanteth not sin in the multitude of words. We shouldn't talk fast. We shouldn't talk about a whole bunch of stuff all the time. There's some people just draw the negative out of us. They draw the world out of us. I've gotten myself in friendships before that I can tell you right now, they led me down the wrong road. And I'd feel bad about it. I'd repent about it. But you know, I'd find out if I'd let myself be with them again, I wasn't being what I was supposed to be, light and salt. Instead, I was partaking of their way of doing things. A gossip is a prime example. Everybody knows about a gossip? What is a gossip? A tale bearer, huh? Someone that spreads words about others. And I'm telling you, people, I don't like it when anybody does it to me. I don't want to hear the negative about other people. You know, I've got eyes. Chances are I've already seen it and I'm praying about it. You don't have to tell me about it. Leave me alone. Because what happens when we hear it? Huh? Even if I never say it. I remember a guy came to me one time when I was an associate pastor, and he told me about the pastor. He was saying, you know, I really appreciate you meeting with me, because when I meet with the pastor, I just never feel like he really pays attention to me. He doesn't really listen to me. And this guy, now I responded, I think, correctly. I said, now wait a second. I said, you know, you can't tell what he's doing. He's probably hearing you clearly. You just don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you something, that when I was away from this situation again, and one time I was speaking with the pastor, and that came up inside of me, and I was defiled. Because that's what I thought. You just don't care about what I'm saying. You're not listening to me. The defilement of an evil report is what we looked at on Friday night. 5/6 of the spies came back with an evil report. And what effect did it have? The whole nation of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. An evil report's terrible. We need to separate ourselves from those other voices. Why? Because they are the ones that blot out the voice of the Good Shepherd. They are the ones that keep us from hearing. Get away from them. People, friends, even jobs. You know, I've got to say this. I'm usually very cautious about it. But if you've got a job that draws you away from the Lord, you need to be talking to the Lord very sincerely and say, Lord, is this job one that is going to enhance my relationship with you, or is it going to take away? Have you ever heard that old saying, I was looking for a job when I found this one? How much better would it be if you were led to a job that the Lord had provided for you? Even jobs can be that. Even places that we go can bring us to those worldly, critical, negative attitudes. Those things that bring the flesh out of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Bad company corrupts good morals. Number three, choose to activate your spiritual ears. And we've talked about this a little bit. The way that you activate your spiritual ears is, number one, in the Word of God. That's been spoken here a number of times today. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do you let something dwell in you richly? The point is, you have to do it. You have to allow it to be that way. You have to make time for the Word of God. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit was promised to us just for this purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit being given to us was to help us to hear God. That's what the Spirit of God was given to us for. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this is Jesus speaking, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, If he's going to teach me something, I've got to be able to hear him, don't I? He will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That means also that he'll guide us away from all false, right? He's guiding us to everything that's true. Your word's truth, Lord. And the Bible says, he won't speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How many know that God wants you to know what's coming on this earth? Jesus gave us a lot of things in the Scripture. But you know, we can't know individually what those are about unless we listen. There's times that we're supposed to take different routes just because of what's ahead. Did you know that? He'll keep you out of trouble because you can hear. He can speak to you. He'll show you things to come. And the way I believe this happens is found in Jude 1:20, or Jude 20, because there's only one chapter of Jude. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit of God. First Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. We need to be doing that. That's one of the ways we get our spirit man activated, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And then after we pray in the Spirit, the 13th verse says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. What's going to happen then? Then he's going to hear what God's saying to him in his own tongue, in his own language. We need to hear. Amen? Finally, we need to choose to obey, don't we, Brooke? We need to obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. You see, a lot of people are hearing, but not obeying. And a lot of people have heard, and now they grumble, and they say, I just don't ever hardly hear from God anymore. I don't know why I don't hear from God anymore. He used to talk to me, but now I haven't heard Him for a long time. Well, I want to challenge you to go back to the last time you heard Him. Remember what He said. And ask yourself, am I doing what He said? Because most of the time, people that quit hearing have quit obeying. Did He tell you to go talk to somebody and you said, oh, I don't want to do that, Lord. They wouldn't listen to me. Or you might have even done it like this. I hear that, but I don't think it's really God. I think it's just my imagination. You see, God won't talk to you if you won't obey Him. But if you'll listen to Him, and if you'll hearken to Him, if you'll know that what He has told you to do is not a suggestion, it's a command, and go ahead and begin to obey. Obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. We talked about this several weeks ago, but one of the things that happens when we don't obey is we form a callus on our heart. And calluses, how many of you know what calluses will do? What happens when you get calluses on your hand? What? Lose feeling. You lose your sensitivity. If you're not sensitive to God, check and see if you've got calluses. Maybe it's because you haven't been listening. Maybe it's because you haven't been obeying. Choose to obey. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to act in obedience. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10:2, they follow me. Is that an action? Yeah. That's the action He wants. Remember the old book, What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I'll follow Him. I'm going to follow Him. You want to know what He'll do? Just follow Him. You've got to do what He does if you're following Him, right? Don't make it harder than it is. Follow God. Following is an act of obedience, isn't it? Following is an act of obedience. You remember the children of Israel in the desert? Hebrews talks about that, and they said, for unto them was the gospel preached as well as... Now, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Hebrews 4:2 says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Back to Luke 8:18 says, be sure to pay attention. Be sure you pay attention. There's no getting around it. You've got to pay attention to what the Lord's saying. Amen. Father, right now we pray and we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'll cause the words that have been spoken here today not to just be more words that go out into the air, but Lord, words that find a resting place in our hearts, in our minds, in our understanding. You said that the Word of God that goes forth can be stolen by the enemy if it's not understood. And so I pray for understanding right now in the name of Yeshua. I pray that everyone here today will have an understanding of the things of the Spirit, and that not one word will be lifted from them that comes from your word, Father, but that they will walk in it and be obedient children, obedient to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I want to thank you today for your great love and mercy for us, Father. I want to thank you that you have given us ability to hear your voice. Pray this with me. Say, Father, I am your sheep. I hear your voice. You know me, and I will follow you. This day, I make a choice. My choice is to believe that you speak to me. My choice is that I will hear your voice. My choice today is to give place for the Word of God and to listen carefully. My choice is to do everything I can to activate my ears to hear you. I will hide the Word in my heart. I will pray in the Spirit. I will walk in the Spirit. I choose today to not just be a hearer, but I will be a doer in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Praise God. Lift your hands up like that. While your hands are in the air, listen to this blessing. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai Panava Leka Vikaneka. Yis Adonai Panava Leka Vayasem Laha Shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His shalom. And the Spirit of God spoke and said, when you speak these words to my people, then I will put my name upon them in the name of Yeshua. We believe it. And everybody said, Amen.